So our text today comes from Luke's gospel. And Jesus is getting ready to address a crowd of people on the beach and to share some wisdom with them. Once while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there on the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But then Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus's knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us, thanks be to God. You know, years ago, I preached on this text and I focused on what it would take for us to become fishers of folk and invite new people into this community of faith. And I used the analogy of fly fishing and using different artificial flies to catch different sorts of people and bring them in. Now, some of us will bite on a little tiny parachute atoms, and others of us, it will take a big black woolly bugger fly for us to strike at the fly and to be brought in. I think of that progressive evangelism or inviting aspect of the story as absolutely key. And it is going to be part of our post-pandemic rebuilding as well. But I'm going to ask you to go someplace a little different with me today. You know, Jesus goes out onto the lake with these guys who have spent their lives fishing. They are all professional fishers, and they must have seen their father Zebedee teach them the trade over the course of many years. They would know where the fish tend to congregate, what time of day they're active and feeding, and how to use the nets masterfully to maximize the catch. But like all fishers, they have the occasional bad day and get skunked, which is what happened that day in our story. So up comes this spiritual leader who needs a waterborne pulpit to preach to the gathered crowd. And after his sermon, he tells the guys to row out into deeper water and to cast their nets. Can't you just imagine them sort of folding their arms and saying, okay, Jesus, if that's what you want us to do? You know, I imagine that there might have been a few sniggers behind Jesus's back as well. "Okay, carpenter boy, let's see you fish." And of course, they bring in this miraculous catch. It isn't the normal evening's haul, but rather such an abundance of fish that they need to get another boat to come alongside to help bring up the nets, which were filled to bursting and then filling both boats. Why not just a good catch? Why not just an adequate catch? Now, it may be that the sons of Zebedee were absolutely gobsmacked. They couldn't say a word because they were stunned. Or maybe they were embarrassed that this dude from Nazareth bested them in knowing how to fish. Or perhaps they just couldn't believe their eyes. But the only verbal response that gets recorded by the gospel writer comes from Peter, who falls down at Jesus' feet and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now think about that response for a minute. Jesus provides an incredible abundance of fish for these fishermen who were eking out a living on the lake shore. And the best you can come up with is, "Get out of here. I'm a sinner and not worthy." How many of us would respond in a similar way? Imagine yourself in Peter's place and Jesus providing 20 amazing new clients, or an entire classroom full of highly motivated and attentive students, or fellow engineers who always want to listen to your brilliant idea. Imagine. How would you respond to that unconditionally loving and abundant gift? One response might be, "Hey, Jesus, that's just too much. I can't accept this." Well, perhaps that's why Peter is so overwhelmed. What would you say to Jesus? I wonder if any of you would say something that none of the disciples said. "Thanks." There seems to be a sense of amazement among the disciples, and Peter can't accept that he is deserving of such a gift. But no one in the narrative turns to Jesus and says, "Thank you, Lord, you've done something really amazing that none of us could have done on our own. We are so grateful to you for what you've provided." Are you and I, are we even remotely aware of the amazing haul that God provides for each one of us? The fact that we can broadcast worship, that we even have a church, that Jesus came to share the good news of the kingdom of God, and somehow it got passed along to us 2,000 years later. That we live here in Colorado in an environment with incredible natural beauty. That we're able to understand one another's speech. That we can explore spiritual mysteries. The very fact that we are alive in this moment. Taken individually, each of these miracles far surpasses 2 boatloads of fish. Do we recognize the miraculous abundance of God's gifts, what God has made possible in our lives? Each of us is the recipient of far greater gifts than fish, which are going to smell funky in a couple hours anyway. Take just a moment and think of 3 amazing gifts that God has shared with you unconditionally. How do we respond to God's entrusting so much abundance to us? We didn't do anything to deserve it. How do we get beyond being speechless to moving in the direction of a response of gratitude? How do we pay those gifts forward That's one of the things that communities of faith help with. Being conscious of what has been shared with us, living in a continual sense of gratitude for God's abundance. And that leads to responsible stewardship of everything entrusted to us, our bodies, our souls, our families, our pets, our possessions, our wealth, all of which are just on loan from God. We have an ancient wisdom tradition that guides us away from the greed is good and it's all about me mentality that our culture applauds and perpetuates. And it moves us in the direction of self-giving love. After Peter offers that, "I'm not worthy" line, Jesus comes back to him and says the words that we hear so often in the New Testament. The words I wrote about in last Tuesday's reflection. Don't be afraid. That phrase occurs 5 times in Luke's gospel alone. You know, none of the disciples may have been very good at articulating gratitude to Jesus. Nobody wrote a thank you note or even said, "Wow." Instead, something more important happened. They saw and they were amazed. And some sense of gratitude and wonder filled them so much that when Jesus said they would become fishers of folk, they left everything and followed him. It makes me wonder whether our sense of gratitude, even when it is not enunciated, could be a vehicle for transformation in our lives. That being grateful to God for everyday miracles and abundance all around us could and should be life-changing for you and for me. What sense of gratitude and abundance fills you? Are you aware of the source of that abundance? How can you not only say thank you, but how will you put your gratitude into practice, giving it legs, giving it the power to change your life and the lives of others? Don't be afraid. Amen.